of the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, the man who will obviously have a great deal to say in this, is our next guest, Alex Anthopoulos, joins us on Primetime Sports. Good afternoon, Alex.
Good afternoon, guys.
Before we get to the situation regarding Colby and Melky Cabrera, wider issues, I just want to ask you about the team right now. A couple of tough losses. We've seen that before from this team, and I think specifically of a horrible game against Cleveland here and a couple of bullpen implosions. In all those cases, you guys stopped the bleeding right away, and in one of those instances ended up going on a prolonged winning streak as well. I'm going to ask you this point blank. Could last year's team have done what this year's team has done on those occasions?
I understand the question. I don't know that I can answer it correctly. The only reason I say is that I don't know that it's a mental mindset as much as it's the talent that we're running out there night in and night out. And part of that talent is Melky Cabrera today is not the same Melky Cabrera that we had a year ago. So I understand the name was in the lineup card for a good chunk of the season, but just wasn't the same player. And I remember when we were trying to find out what was wrong with him, and we understood, obviously, with the biogenesis concerns, and everyone sort of pointed to those things, but you had a lot of other players that were linked to that were having good years, whether it was Eberth Cabrera, Nelson Cruz, Bartolo Colon. I mean, the list went on and on, Johnny Peralta. And the one thing that didn't make sense was Melky was 28 years old, and the way he was moving around in the outfield, it didn't make any sense at all. So when comparing both teams, again, R.A. and Burley are playing that much better and obviously performing that much better, you know, maybe there was the hype, the expectations. I know it's not good from a sales standpoint, but I cringed last offseason with all the hype and the expectations, and I get it. I understand the responsibilities that come with that, but I loved spring training. I loved the fact that everyone thought we weren't going to be competitive. Barely any media showed up. I had very few interviews to do. The players weren't being told every 5 minutes how great they were, and they were World Series favorites, and it was actually the opposite, where they were getting bashed a little bit, and in its own way, I think it was good, because these guys, my sense was they had something to prove, and I didn't think they liked hearing the criticism as well, so I think it's been a good thing for us, and maybe that's just allowed us to play well, but at the same time, there was a reason everyone felt this was a good team last year and was going to be a good team and a contending team, and it was because of the talent. And they're not excuses with the injuries. They happened. You know, I'm responsible for those. You bring in players that get hurt. That's my responsibility. But all that said, we knew we had a talented team. We needed some help and some guys to perform the way they were always capable of performing and had done so their entire careers.
Alex, that part of that bounce back against the Royals was Marcus Stroman's first major league start. Got a ton of run support, but looked terrific. Right now, on June the 2nd, what is he? Is he part of your five-man rotation going forward? Do you expect him to be there for the rest of the season?
You know, I hope so. He's going to get a chance to be, certainly, and I think it's, this is an important opportunity for him, especially, I think June's an important month for us, to be completely candid. I think Gibby mentioned it the other day. We've had good Mays before, and then all of a sudden June didn't go so well. So I'd like to see how we respond, and can we put two great months together back-to-back? And Stroman's going to be an important part of that. You know, all that said, I like the fact that we were able to break Stroman in initially as a reliever just to get all those firsts out of the way. The family comes up. The girlfriend comes up. Your phone's blowing up. And I remember whether it's a Casey Jansen warming up to start a game, and I think the ball hit the screen pretty much, and we know what kind of control he has. It just tells you something about the nerves, or even seeing guys like Ghost finally getting another opportunity and being that much more comfortable, or even a Pilar. There isn't anything like it. I've heard players say it so many times. They get up here, their head's spinning, everything's moving so fast. Once they go back down, they get to regroup. The next time they come up here, they're that much more relaxed. And I know it's only one start with Marcus overall, but I do think he's going to settle in very well. And the exciting part was the ground balls that he was able to produce and just pouring in strikes. And, you know, we all know what kind of athlete he is as well. So I'm hoping he can have that type of Sonny Gray impact for us. And I'm not prepared to say he will, but I won't be shocked if he does.
Alex Anthopoulos joins us on Primetime Sports, Jeff Blair and Stephen Brunt. You have sent Liam Hendricks out. I guess you won't make a decision, or you won't announce your move until tomorrow, correct?
Correct. We made the decision on who we're going to bring up out of the bullpen, and we just need to make sure that we contact the player first,
okay,
rather than him hearing it on his phone. But you know, sending out Liam Hendricks was not easy because he didn't deserve to be sent out with how well he pitched. But part of it was we didn't want to, with the off day and moving the rotation around, we didn't want to stick him in the bullpen as a long guy. And, you know, we have the ability to bring him back in 10 days, and we'd rather keep him on turn, continue to have him stretched out, make his starts, because he may very well be back here in 10 days. And we talked about it internally quite a bit. I know we didn't come out and say it to the media, but it's pretty and even during the year. We talked about all the off days we had in the first month. We had basically every Monday off, and we loved it. That was giving guys a little more rest. And we talked about trying to create our own off days when they didn't occur, when we had a 20-game stretch and so on. And that was part of it with Stroman. And having a guy like Drew move back, he didn't want to move back in the rotation. But we do want to be preemptive with him. And if it looks like he's tired and we can give him a little more rest, we're going to do that. We don't have any type of caps or innings limits or anything like that at all. But we do have 4 months left, and we don't want to be left August and September scrambling because we're worried about innings or workload or someone being tired when we had time well ahead of time to prepare for it. So you may see a guy like Liam Hendricks come back into the rotation and make another spot start. Stroman, we'll see how he does. It's going to be very fluid in the same way. You might see us move some guys in and out of the bullpen as a seventh or eighth guy if guys need a rest. We're so conscious and focused on keeping this team completely healthy, and if that needs to involve a little bit of roster turnover, we'll do that. That's a big reason why Frankie came up. It was only for a day, but God forbid we went extra innings or our starter went three innings. We don't want the Loops or the Cecils or the Jansons to have to, you know, obviously be used in scenarios that would be needed and log more innings, and that would ultimately impact them in the long run.
Was there any concern about Hutchison, Alex? Because, you know, there was the talk about velocity drop, and, you know, the eyeball test said he didn't look quite like the same guy as he did pitching that masterpiece a couple of starts ago.
I completely agree, and that was basically what it came down to. He just didn't look good. He didn't look sharp. There's no conspiracy theory to this. He has not complained of anything, but no issues at all. And the other thing, too, is part of it is we've actually had the five-man rotation. With all those off days, guys have been getting that much more rest the entire time. And we now went on basically a 3 or 4 start run with some of these guys that they were getting normal rest. And there isn't anything wrong with getting normal rest, but a guy like Drew now having to adjust back, we noticed he looked a little, his velocity was a little down, he looked a little tired. Giving him that rest, we don't think is going to hurt him at all, and should only help him. And again, that was us. No, that wasn't him coming out. That was us being the one to do it. And we're going to look to do that with Burley or with RA. And there might be times where we shuffle the rotation and we bring them back on normal rest because somebody else might need a little more time. So we're just going to try to stay ahead of it, stay on top of it. We don't want to get to the point where guys are coming out saying that they're sore and then we have to react. We want to try to be ahead of that and to prevent it.
Alex Anthopoulos joins us on Primetime Sports. Alex, I had a chance to talk to Paul Beeston this morning about Colby Rasmus and Melky Cabrera, two guys who are eligible, could be eligible for free agency at the end of this season. Paul kind of indicated that the organization likely wouldn't sign or negotiate with these players during the season. That would probably wait until the off season. Now, I know in the past you've had a lot of success, for example, Edwin Encarnacion, which I think a lot of people will look at as sort of one of the signature contracts you've negotiated. Is why the reason for a different approach with Melky and Colby? And I understand that they're in two different stages of their career and two different players, but why the difference in approach, for example, with Melky?
Yeah, if you had asked me about Encarnacion at the time, I would have said, ideally, you don't do it during the year. It's hard. Guys are playing. You're trying to negotiate. You do want to try to keep the focus on playing and on the field. Look, ultimately, what happens is whenever you're negotiating contract with players, whether it's spring training or during the year, it becomes almost the talk of the clubhouse. I mean, they're talking to their teammates. Everyone has an opinion and so on. And you can only imagine once it gets out to the media, it just basically consumes everybody. So you'd like to avoid it if you can. So all that said, ideally, you don't do it during the year. We would never rule it out to do it during the year. Like you said, the Encarnacion contract was not by design that it was done at the All-Star break. I actually, you know, we had a meeting with our staff, and, you know, I had some strong opinions and feelings on trying to extend him that off-season leading into the year. And as we met as a group, and because of the payroll flexibility that we have, and that we do have a larger payroll, I think everybody on the staff felt, why don't we just wait a little bit, get a little bit more information. We know the player enjoys being here. He wants to be here. As long as we treat him fairly, we're fairly confident we'll be able to get something done. So with that said, I know Colby and Melky both enjoy playing in Toronto. I have every confidence in the world that we'll have the resources to sign them. And I wouldn't rule out that we would do something before the end of the year. Again, the ideal scenario is you don't do it while they're playing. And I think Paul's right that if you had to guess, something that you approach more to the in the off-season. But, again, if we did approach those guys during the year, I would hope that no one would know other than them and their families and their agents, and it would be done very quietly overall. But I think with the payroll that we have the flexibility to wait a little bit longer to gather more information and also to see what some of the alternatives might be. Let's see what happens at the trade. Let's see where the team is at. So much can change, and if you're a smaller market with not as many dollars, you have to be a little more aggressive and do it a little bit earlier. I think with the position we're in, it's one of the advantages we have. We have the ability to wait. If it costs a little bit more, certainly not going to cripple our payroll. You just have to make sure you're not taking, for example, a $40 million player, what you deem a $40 million player, and if you wait, he becomes 120. That's when you need to be a little aggressive. But if you think a guy's a $40 million player, and if you wait, it's going to cost you 46 over 5 years, sure, it's $6 million, but the delta there is not that significant in terms of the $40 million decision you need to make. So it's really a balancing act.
How has what you've seen of Anthony Ghost during this stint with the team influenced your thinking, if at all, on that? Do you think he has taken a step or a half step closer to being the player you guys expect him to be?
I think he absolutely has made major strides, and especially if you look at the minor league performance the last 3 years. I mean, I'm stating the obvious, and I'm not trying to disparage the player, but the bat has been light. And, you know, the most encouraging thing was we had all seen Anthony come up before, and as a speed player, his bunting was definitely a work in progress, and we tried to have him bunt more at the minor league level. But at the same time, you didn't want to waste that many at-bats having him bunt because we still needed to work on his swing. And at the end of the season, I remember we were playing, I believe, the Twins, and we had talked about an organization. I talked to him about once the season was over, he was up in September, I wanted him to go down to Florida basically for 10 days to work on the bunting side of the game and just bunt every day, every day, every day, work with guys like Tim Raines and so on, and talk about base stealing and talk about bunting, and it's 10 days, and then you can start your off-season. And he didn't need to do it. We're not allowed to force players. Their off-season is their off-season, and especially after a long year, these guys just, they're fried and they want to go home. For a guy like Anthony, those guys that instructs, they're normally 18, 19-year-old kids that are not really haven't even gotten out of A-ball, and for him to go back down there and be willing to do that to make himself better, we've already seen some of the returns on that, and if he can make bunting part of his game, that's completely going to change things. We've known what kind of defender he is and so on, but I'm certainly encouraged. It's still a tiny sample size at this point. If he stays up here, we'll see how he plays. If he has to go back down, I'll be very curious to see what the results are and what the stats are down there and if he makes some of those adjustments and changes. But overall, he's been outstanding. He's played well. He's been a big part of our success so far.
Alex, thanks so much for doing this. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, guys. Really enjoyed it.